And joining us on Perspectives today is Amy Stewart. She is an award-winning author of 6 books, including the bestsellers The Drunken Botanist and Wicked Plants. She and her husband live in Eureka, California, where they own a bookstore called Eureka Books. And their latest book that she has written, it's a novel called Girl Waits with Gun, and we're going to talk about that. But also we're going to get to know Amy a little bit better. And Amy, thank you very much for being with us here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, as I mentioned a little while ago, that you are the award-winning writer of various books, including, prior to this, 6 nonfiction books. So this is your first novel, is that correct?
That's right.
So tell us about yourself. Did you always show an interest in writing when you were young, or is this something that you just fell in love with later?
No, I always did. I was one of those kids when I was 5. If you had asked me what I want to be when I grow up, I would have said I want to be a writer. I was a very early precocious reader, so I had my nose in a book actually from before I could read, and that has never stopped.
Well, that's incredible as far as, you know, because a lot of children, yes, they read books when they're little, or they think they're reading books. Some of them actually can read the books. But then kind of they grow out of it, and then they get kidnapped by video games, iPhones, and everything else. But I've always loved books. My father used to take us every 2 weeks because we lived outside the city limits to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is a very voracious reader, and so is my son and my other daughter. And so when you started reading, as you mentioned, were there any particular books or anything that you could get your hands on?
Anything I could get my hands on. You know, I was like you. I had a library card, and I made constant use of it. So, you know, I think I probably read all the things that girls read at my age. I read all the Nancy Drews, and, you know,
yeah.
I graduated to all the Agatha Christies, and I read, you know, Madeline L'Engle, A Wrinkle in Time, and Wind in the Willows, and, I read all those great books. But, you know, I think you just said a very interesting thing. You know, the way that you get kids interested in reading and keep them interested is not treating it like it's something that only kids do. You know, I grew up in a house full of adults who were reading all the time. And I think if you want your kid to be a reader, the best thing you can do is read yourself and to very frequently say to your kids, leave me alone, I'm reading.
Now, tell us about some of your other books, particularly The Drunken Botanist, because that was an award winner. You have another award winner, but these are all related to plants and very interesting facts that people were not aware of, or some people might say, well, what do I need to learn about bugs? But there's a lot to learn about bugs, and especially some of the ones we think are bad or we don't like, they're some of the best ones.
That's right, yeah. So The Drunken Botanist is a book about all the plants that get turned into alcohol. So it goes plant by plant through, you know, how potatoes get made into vodka and how corn gets made into whiskey. So it's really a botanical exploration of the world, you know, through the eyes of alcohol. And before that, I had written Wicked Plants and Wicked Bugs, which are about the dark side of the natural world. So it's actually all the plants and all the bugs that you want to be afraid of because they're poisonous or venomous or dangerous, or they've harmed people or human civilization in some way.
And switching over to your current novel, Girl Waits with Gun, based on an actual accident, that's a big turn, some people might say, from, you know, studying about potatoes and corn and, mm-hmm. you know, of course, some guys might say, well, I'm being good. I'm drinking my vegetables.
That's right.
But this is, as I mentioned, a little bit different, your first novel, and what made you step out like this?
Well, I stumbled across a newspaper article about this case while I was writing my last book, The Drunken Botanist. I was writing about a gin smuggler named Henry Kaufman, and I just thought, you know, I better find out what else this Henry Kaufman has done. So I found a 1915 article in the New York Times about somebody named Henry Kaufman who ran his car into a buggy being driven by these 3 sisters in Paterson, New Jersey. And it turned into a crazy conflict where suddenly the sisters were under attack and getting bricks thrown through their windows and shots fired at their house. It was a fascinating story, and I just kept digging into that story. It was probably not the same Henry Kaufman I was looking for, but I just got so distracted by the story that there off I went.
We are visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Her latest novel is Girl Waits with Gun. And as Amy just told us, this is based on an actual event, accident that happened. And, of course, the rest is from the pen of Amy Stewart. And there's some very interesting things. I wanted to talk about the characters themselves. These are some very strong women, and especially Constance.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the, is it COPP? Is
that yes.
The COPP girls.
Yes, K-O-P-P, COPP. Fortunately, I know quite a bit about them from real life. So Constance was the oldest sister when the story began. She was 35 years old. And she was kind of formidable. She was almost 6 feet tall. She weighed 180 pounds. She was a large woman, and she knew her own mind. She was very clear about who she was. But at that time, she didn't have a lot of options. You know, she was unmarried. She wasn't interested in marriage. She didn't have a job and really had no way to get a job. There were very few jobs open to women, and it was hard to even get an education to learn how to do something with your life. And, you know, this run-in with Henry Kaufman kind of, like, she didn't know her own strength, I don't think, until she went up against a bad guy, and suddenly she saw what she could do. But there's three sisters. The middle sister, Norma, I actually was able to interview a family member who remembers a little bit about her from when he was a child and when she was an old woman. So I know that she was very tough and stubborn and opinionated. And once she got an idea in her head, she never let go of it. And if you crossed her, she would never forgive you. She'd hold it against you forever. And I thought, oh, I know women like that. I think I can write about this. And then the youngest sister, Florette, was very pretty and theatrical and dramatic and very fashionable. She made all her own clothes. She sang. And again, all of that is based on real life. That's how she really was.
And you know, Amy, I was talking to somebody about this book. I forget who it was, but they mentioned, you know, that's the way things used to be. And I wish there were more that way today, where sisters are buddies and they hang out together. And I think it still exists, but you probably don't hear or see much about it anymore.
Well, that's right. You know, families don't stay together under the same roof the way they used to. It used to happen because they didn't have any choice, you know. So these three sisters, while they have a bond, they do fight plenty. You know, they sort of bicker with each other all the time. They disagree. But they're living together more by necessity than by choice. And we don't have the same, you know, multiple generations under the same roof, a family homestead like we used to.
We are visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. She is the author of the book Girl Waits with Gun. This is her first novel, but it's based on an actual, I'm not sure if I should say auto accident, but yes, auto accident and a buggy. And it was very interesting. You know, what I really liked is when Constance writes the letter to Mr. Kaufman, and it's like an invoice, and she puts out everything, how much it costs. And I was going, wow, that's amazing. Today people would say, well, $50, could have paid her off, whatever. But that was a lot of money back then.
It was a lot of money. Yeah, they were living on about $1,000 a year. So that gives you a sense. It was maybe 2 weeks' worth of living expenses. So it's about the equivalent of a very modest paycheck for somebody.
And then some of the people, including Francis, her brother, is Francis trying to be a brother who really cares about his sisters, or is he kind of afraid of what might happen to his name, his house, and perhaps what Mr. Kaufman might do because of the previous strikes they've had?
Yeah, well, I think it's all one and the same. You know, their older brother really wanted the three sisters to come move in with him, and he was being a good guy for his time period. In those days, if you had an unmarried sister and there was no father or other man to look after them, it was your obligation to take them in and to look after them until you could marry them off. And if they were never going to get married, then they were going to be your spinster sister who lived in the guest room. So he was trying to be a good guy, but also I think part of protecting them was keeping everyone's name out of the papers, being very low profile. You know, it was not the age of Instagram. It was not considered a good thing to have your name in the papers. So he was trying to be the protector and trying to keep everybody on an even track.
And a lot of them, it's interesting when I think it's Constance talking to her brother, and her brother says, you know, you really need to move because there are only three females here, and that's really hard. And Constance says, well, how different is it from when Mom was here? There were four females. Does just one less make it a lot harder?
Right. Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing that changed. In the novel, their mother had just died the year before, and I think it made Frances feel a little bit more nervous about the three of them off by themselves. At least they had a matriarch looking over them before, and all of a sudden they were really kind of on their own.
We are visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Amy is the author of the book Girl Waits with Gun, and you've gotten some very good reviews on this, Amy. In fact, you know, us being an NPR affiliate, we heard your interview on NPR. But you've also had some great from Kirkus Reviews, New York Times, Washington Times, and a lot of them are saying what I said at the beginning, that it's a very funny novel based on truth, but it really gets you to just, you know, enjoy the novel, keep on reading, and not worry. You don't indulge the reader with a bunch of facts, a bunch of numbers, a bunch of dates. The dates that you do put in are very interesting and very much part of the story, because we have to imagine the fact that this was 1914, 1920, and it's not 2015. And it's hard to imagine a buggy and a car having an accident back then, because in today's world, everybody's just going, you know, 90 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah, that's what I love about this time period of 1914, is that the old Victorian era and the modern 20th century are just coming together, and they're literally colliding with one another. So there was this short period of time where we had horses on the road sharing space with cars. And we had roads that were really built for the horses and not for the cars. They hadn't even figured out yet how to pave the roads so that cars could really ride on them. The roads were being torn up by automobile tires. So such an interesting clash of the old and the new right then.
We are visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Amy is the author of the novel Girl Waits with Gun. We talked a little bit about what Constance did. She sent a letter out to Mr. Kaufman. Things didn't seem to work out, so she wrote him another letter, and it was nothing bad. It was just, you know, hope you're okay. Perhaps you didn't get my last letter. But then things get a little bit heavy, and you might think about, wait a minute, is this a gangster era from the 1920s, or is it the Godfather protection money? This guy pretty much had everybody in the town's in his pocket.
That's right. Yeah. Henry Kaufman owned a silk dyeing factory, and he was the son of a very, very wealthy family that owned a lot of factories, so he was powerful. But he was also kind of a bad seed in this family. He wasn't a good, responsible businessman. He was somebody who liked to spend his daddy's money on liquor and fast cars. And he had a gang of kind of bad characters that he ran around with, and didn't take his business too seriously. So Constance didn't realize that at first. But once she went down to confront him and asked for payment, she realized, oh, this guy is not who I thought he was.
And when she is given a gun, she doesn't realize that, you know, it makes her even stronger, and she realizes that she's not afraid, and she's ready to stand up along with this, is it a deputy who she befriends?
It's actually the sheriff.
Oh, the sheriff, okay. And so everybody else is afraid of Henry Kaufman, but the sheriff and Constance is like, we're ready to take him on. Come on, we'll do whatever we have to, and you're going to have to go over us.
That's right. Yeah, and so there again, you know, law enforcement in those days was so just ad hoc and kind of making it up as we go along. Can you imagine a woman today going to the sheriff to say, somebody is harassing me, and the sheriff says, okay, I'm gonna give you a revolver, and I'm going to teach you how to shoot, and your sisters, and if he comes back, here's what I want you to do. It would never happen, but that's exactly what he did.
And why don't you carry us through a little? I don't want to give away the book. It's such a great book. But why don't you carry us through a little bit what happens after she's given the gun? The reaction from her sisters and Frances and everybody else.
Yeah, well, it's actually Constance and her sister Norma are both taught how to shoot at once. They're told to keep a watch out on their property. They're told to fire into the trees to scare them off if somebody comes. But the harassment continues, and it just escalates, and it just gets worse. And pretty soon, the sheriff has to put his own deputies out at their house for 24-hour surveillance to try to catch this guy. Meanwhile, their brother, who lives several miles away in another town and is busy with his own family, they don't ever quite tell him how bad it's getting, because they don't want him to worry, and they don't want him to try to force them to move or anything like that. So he actually finds out about things in the newspaper, which is a big shock. So it's a little tough with the brother. You know, they're having to constantly reassure him that they're doing okay, but in fact, they're not doing okay at all. It's only getting worse.
We're visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Amy is the author of the book Girl Waits with Gun. She also has other books that she's written, 6 nonfiction books on her perils and pleasures of the natural world, including 4 New York Times bestsellers, The Drunken Botanist, Wicked Bugs, Wicked Plants, and Flower Confidential. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, she lives in California with her husband, who is a rare book dealer, and they own a bookstore called Eureka Books. The store is housed in a classic 19th century Victorian building that Amy very much hopes is haunted, because I think that would be a pretty good other story for you, correct?
That's right. Yeah, right. I just need a good ghost living in the attic of the bookstore, and then I'm all set.
Well, that's very interesting about the fact that you know, you guys have a rare book collection store, and I was wondering about, you know, some people say people don't read anymore. You know, everything is on either a Kindle or a Nook, but there are some people who still value very much holding a book in their hand. And this store that you and your husband run, is it particularly just for rare books, or just, you know, books, period, that have been in the past?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. We've got new books, general used books, and rare collectibles, all under one roof. It's huge. It's a big, beautiful old building, floor-to-ceiling books. It's a wonderful place to be. And, you know, we're doing better than ever. So our store just grows by leaps and bounds every year. So I think there's hope for us yet in the book world.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
We're visiting with Amy Stewart. She's an award-winning author of the novel Girl Waits with Gun. And as we go through the book and they continue to harass Constance, at one point, I forget where it was. Let me find it here. It's on page 164, which I guess doesn't matter to the listener if they haven't bought the book yet. But this is where they're talking about being in a Black Hand letter. And so someone says, "Are you saying that Henry Kaufman is a Black Hander?" I asked, and he's not even Italian. So that was also, I guess, before PC, where we could say things like that, and we could talk about, you know, this is what's happening. Just say it the way it is. Don't make anything up or sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
So tell us about after this, and when they think that Henry is a Black Hander, what is their reaction from all the other people?
Well, people were terrified. You know, so in those days, what everyone thought was that there was these Italian gangs. This is sort of like early mafia, mm-hmm. Sicilian gangs that were called the Black Hand, that sent these threatening letters that were all very similar. It was, "Give us $1,000 or we'll burn your house down. Give us $1,000 or we'll kidnap your daughter." That was it. It was real simple extortion. Now, what we know now today in the year 2015 is we know that really that was a lot of copycat crime, and that in fact it was not all Sicilian gangs. It was ordinary thugs who figured out that this is a way they could make some money. So the whole question with Henry Kaufman, and he's not even Italian, this is sort of the beginning of some awareness of, you know, I think this isn't really Black Hand, and they're just using the language and the methods to try to scare people.
When you wrote this book, Amy, when you started writing it based on this actual event that happened, did you have intentions to kind of write it with a little bit of a light hand?
I did. You know, I had so much fun learning about the Kopp sisters. This has been the most delightful and really rewarding experience of my life. I've grown to love them so much, and I just think they're so amazing. So what I wanted the readers to feel is the same sense of joy and discovery that I felt as I was looking for them. And so in order to do that, I didn't want it to be a dark, heavy, depressing book. I mean, there is a crime at the center of it, but it's not a classic whodunit. You know, we all know who did it. We all know the guy who's harassing them. It's a story of these women standing up for themselves and fighting back, and they are kind of funny. They sort of crack me up a little bit. So that was definitely my intention.
Do you see yourself in any of these women?
I identified really strongly with Constance. That's why it's told from her point of view. You know, she's a little bit of a misfit. You know, she didn't fit in with what society expected of women. She didn't want to get married. She wanted a job. She's a very large woman, and so in that way she didn't fit in. She had a very hard time even finding clothes that she could wear. Her youngest sister had to make all her own clothes. And I think we can all sort of identify, right, just in some way with the misfit, with the person who's not quite doing it right. And there's a lot of places in the book where Constance gets it wrong and where she kind of fumbles and she's awkward and she's the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't know about you, but I can identify with that.
Yes. We're visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. She is the author of the novel Girl Waits with Gun. It's a novel based on an actual event that happened in 1914. Now, when we're talking about Constance there, another thing that stands out, I guess, in 1914, here's a woman who is 6 foot tall. And back then, I mean, she towered over a lot of the men, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched like a documentary about World War I or even seen some of the soldiers' uniforms from World War I, but people were small and undernourished. So, yeah, she would have been taller than most of the men she ran into.
And as far as Florette, I see her as kind of almost like a PR person for the family and for Constance, the fact that she wants to make sure that everything's okay, and she puts a spin on everything. And, you know, she's the one who is, in fact, people say, well, she's 15 or she's 14, but she goes, no, I'm 16. And so she wants to make sure that all the facts get out there, but that no one gets hurt.
Yeah, well, Florette loves the drama of the whole thing, and it takes her a while to realize that this is even very serious, because she's been a very sheltered girl, and she's got a big imagination, and she does want to break out and be out in the world and be more public. She wants to be up on a stage. She's got big dreams for herself, but they are not coming true on a little farm in New Jersey, and so we see her kind of struggling to break out and kind of be a bigger person in the world than she's been able to be so far.
We're visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Amy is the writer, author of the book Girl Waits with Gun. This is a novel that is based on an actual event. And what happened is, Amy told us earlier, she was doing some research and she saw this headline about this accident that had happened, and she looked further into it. And hence, we meet the Kopp girls, and Constance is the leader of the pack, and you read a little bit about everything. And I think, as Amy said before, you as a reader are going to find that you can relate to one of these characters, no matter who it is. But I think the characterization out there is so broad that there is a little bit of everything for somebody. It's almost like the Waltons. Yeah, you can relate to everybody.
That.
Okay. The Waltons go bad, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, right.
John Boy drives with a intoxicated. No, we better not say that. Okay. But anyway, as far as when you get to this, did you already have an idea as once the or what happens when you're writing down and you're setting up Mr. Kaufman? Mr. Kaufman's the bad guy. Constance is the heroine. So when you're writing this, do you already have preconceived ideas of, like, how you want to end it, what's going to happen next? Because a lot of authors that I've spoken with say that the first sentence and the ending are always the hardest.
Well, that's true. It's definitely true. When I start writing, I have to remind myself, don't get too hung up on writing a perfect first paragraph, because when you get to the end, you're going to come back and write a very different perfect first paragraph. So don't even worry about it, because you're going to throw it out anyway. But in my case, you know, because this is a true story, I knew exactly how it had to end. I've stuck very closely to the facts. So I think I was a little bit lucky in that way, in that I didn't have to wonder where I was going. I knew where I was going. The challenge is to do it in a way that's fun with fiction. So that means being willing to change a few things here and there to make it feel more like a story, because real life often doesn't feel like stories do.
I'm wondering, as far as, because you knew the ending and because you were writing on something that actually happened, what would the reaction be of the Kopp sisters reading your novel, or have you already heard from them?
Well, of course, the Kopp sisters themselves are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was 100 years ago, and I
the family, I wonder, I'm sorry. You interviewed the family, right?
Oh, the family members. Uh-huh. Yeah, the family members have been terrific. They were so helpful and so supportive, and they shared with me what they had about their great aunts, and I shared quite a bit with them that they didn't know about their own family history. And they've read the book, and they've told me that they enjoyed it, and that they can see where I stuck to the truth and where I changed things. So it's actually turned out to be a really wonderful thing. I was nervous about it because I didn't want to, here I am, a stranger, barging into somebody else's family and telling stories about them. And I can imagine how I would feel if a stranger called me out of the blue and said, I'm going to write a book about your great-grandmother. I would say, well, who are you? So they have been terrific about it.
We are visiting with award-winning author Amy Stewart. Amy is the author of the recent novel Girl Waits with Gun. This is a novel based on a true story. And now I'm wondering, okay, what if the Kopp sisters were around and they read this book? What would they think?
I would so, you have no idea how much I would love to be able to ask them what they thought. I think they would tell me that I got quite a bit wrong. I think they would sort of laugh and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. And that the story they would have to tell me would be 100 times better than anything I could imagine. And the reason I say that is that anytime I uncover a new piece of information about them, it's something that's far better than what I've been able to imagine. So I do wish I could ask them. I'd give anything for a diary or a set of letters or anything that would tell me more.
And I'm sure Florette will want to make it as dramatic as possible, correct?
Yes, and she would want to be the leading lady and not Constance.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Amy, we're running out of time, but if you would give us perhaps a link, a webpage, anything where people can find out more about your novel, but not just that, also about you and your other books.
Oh, that's very easy. You can go to girlwaitswithgun.com, which is just the title of the book, and that will actually take you straight to my webpage. And I'm on book tour, so I've got lots of tour dates coming up, and all the other books are there too.
Well, Amy, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I really enjoyed the book. As I mentioned, very funny, but very well written, and I love your sense of humor.
Oh, thank you so much.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines. Thank you very much, Amy.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a great time.
You too. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye.